Blog Talk Radio.
Stop the ass, stop the ass. Get a friend's opinion fast. So many kids, young or old. Try no matter what your tone.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russell Poisey, and I am your host for the original Lyric Stream radio show. You can listen and stream our show replay now on the iHeartRadio app on your Android or iOS device and on iHeartRadio.com. We're also now on Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify for podcasts, and we are very proud of that. You can listen to the show live tonight. Please log on to blogtalkradio.com/originallyricstreamradio. I love doing this show to highlight and introduce all the great musical artists out here in the social media platforms. Thank you to my friend Bill Miller on the dashboard this evening and uploading the photos and music from our guests. My website is russellfoiseymusic.com. That's F as in Frank, O-I-S-Y, and I am a singer, songwriter, producer, and I've recorded two albums, Original Lyric Stream and Constructive or Destructive. My social media is on Spotify, iTunes, Reverb Nation, Instagram, CD Baby, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. The song you just heard is my own, titled Stomp the Ants. ANTS stands for Automatic Negative Thought Syndrome. So many can'ts, young or old, try no matter what you're told. And on this show, can't is a word we do not recognize. Our goal with Original Lyric Stream Radio is to pay it forward to the individual listening tonight with a desire to begin as a singer, songwriter, composer, musician, or an engineer in our creative arts. And I'll be speaking with guests in the weeks ahead that will tell their own story and inspiration behind the music. My own writing experience has come from life, current events, and family. And I wrote my very first song lyrics in 2012. That's only 7 years ago. Everyone out there, if I can do it, you can do this as well. So please try. As an introduction to our guest interview this evening, you're viewing the slideshow of a great artist, Charles Locke, from L.A., Los Angeles, California. Let's play a great track from Charles titled Me and You and the Universe.
Me and you in the universe. Me. We'll It made the dark, it made the light, and for today, baby, it made tonight. You made the neon sign, you made the rhymes you rhyme, you made the streets you walk.
Track. Hey everybody, let me introduce and welcome singer, songwriter, musician. Let me welcome a great artist out here from Los Angeles on the West Coast in California, beautiful California. Charles Locke, thank you so much for joining me at Original Lyric Stream Radio.
Hey Russell,
how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Hey, I mentioned in my introduction to start the show, and we got a goal to pay it forward to the person listening tonight. Hopefully they can start their path like you are and get involved with the music industry. We'll get to ask you a series of questions so our listeners can get to know you better. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What a great up-tempo track, Charles, to start the show. Let's tell our listeners about the inspiration on Me and You and the Universe.
Oh, well, it's pretty simple. You know, it's funny. People they respond to that song and they say, "What's the name of the song?"
There you go, man. Me and You in the Universe, right?
Yeah.
Simple
yeah.
enough.
What's the name? What's the name of the song again?
There you go.
It's like, duh.
No, it's a great track. Love the guitar riffs and really nice harmony there.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, that was an all Japanese band when I was touring in 2014 in Japan, and so we recorded it over there. And it was a last minute thing, you know.
Very nice. Hey,
yeah.
I I know we met in Facebook, and I've met a lot of artists in social media. You're originally from Boston, another fellow New Englander. I'm originally from Providence, Rhode Island, born and raised there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. What's it like living out in L.A. now?
Oh, well, you know, the weather's good. you got to drive too much and too much traffic, but the weather's good.
Absolutely. Well, I know personally the snow drove me away. I had enough of blizzards and all that, slosh, and then it turns to mud.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
No good.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about your song, Original Lyrics Dream, that's the title of it, right? Original Lyrics Dream.
Well, it's the title of one of my CDs, the song I played at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
it's called Stomp the Ants.
Stomp the Ants, right. How'd you get that title? That's an interesting title, Stomp the Ants.
You know, I wrote that song, Charles, in like 15 minutes. It was about somebody who was very negative to me and said I was too old to write songs and perform.
Right.
And and I said, I had to scratch my head. I went, what? No, I'm not. So it's really about negative people. And, we like to stomp the ants on negative people.
Right. Good one.
Yeah.
The title.
That took a short time to write. That was a quick
really?
One.
About
15 minutes.
That sounded great.
So you were, awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I know you were playing piano at age 11 and guitar at 13. And I found this fascinating. So before graduating high school, you had already written over 300 songs. And now you have more than 4,000 songs.
Yeah. Imagine that, huh?
You're a writing machine.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good
That's
word
incredible.
For it.
tell me about that. I mean, it just obviously, writing is just a no-brainer, right? I mean, you just pump them out.
Right. Yeah. Well, sometimes they do pump out, and then sometimes they don't. But it's all different every. About 10 years ago, I sent another. Well, it was under 2,000, but it was close to like 1,900 and something songs to the Library of Congress to copyright them. So people ask me, did you actually write that many songs? And I'm like, well, I wrote over 2,000 with the Library of Congress. So, and I have recordings of them. So there's the proof.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And you know what? You bring up a very good point, listeners out there. When you do write a song and you put your lyrics behind it, make sure you protect it and copyright it, because once you do that, you're completely protected against anyone trying to record or duplicate your works, and that's extremely important.
Right. Yeah. One of the best things that could happen is I always tell people, steal my song, please. You know what I mean?
And then you become a plaintiff, right?
Yeah. You'll steal my song. Use it, make it famous.
Right.
Oh, yeah, my brother had a friend, and it's interesting. All he did was he created a beat. You know, like these days, you create a beat, right?
Right.
And you can actually copyright your beat, right? So my brother's friend created a beat. And then it was months later, maybe a year later, I don't know how long, but he heard his beat being used in a song that became famous. So,
oh, no.
And he got in contact with the person. And since his beat was copywritten, the guy made, I don't know how much, hundreds of thousands at least, off of this is a case where they stole his beat. They busted him on, you stole my beat. And he made hundreds of thousands off it. So, yeah. It's like
that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, steal the song, steal the lyrics, steal the beat. And
right.
Yeah, that applies to anything, right? Chord composition,
right.
Beats, sounds, anything to do with music. So, you want an international songwriting competition, Battle of the Bands, and I see you played with Jesse Ed Davis, who's performed with some legends out here and some greats. What was that experience like?
Well, that was actually, he was just a friend. My ex-girlfriend married him, so we met that way. But yeah, it was interesting because we used to play with all kinds of friends, you know, hanging out in Laurel Canyon. And this guy, Gene, was really cool. We'd be playing together and singing, you know, harmonies and stuff. And I didn't know who Gene was, just a guy in a house, you know. It's been on for months, you know. And then Jesse finally says, "Hey, Gene, put on one of your classic records, you know." And he goes, "Which one?" And Jesse goes, "Well, how about Mr. Tambourine Man?" You know, so I didn't realize it was Gene Clark from the Byrds. So they played Mr. Tambourine Man. I was like, "Oh, you're Gene Clark from the Byrds."
Yeah, remember the Byrds, right?
Right, remember that? Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty old. Well, I go back to those days, but I don't know how old you are, but most people are at least younger than me.
Now, let's see, the Byrds. Was Graham Nash in the Byrds?
I know the other, what's his name, was in it. You're close. Maybe he was.
Either Graham Nash or David Crosby?
God, Crosby was in it for sure, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know that's where they got their start.
Right.
Yeah, David Crosby's a great artist, and he's still doing his thing. So
coming
out with solo stuff.
He put the crack pipe down and started writing more songs.
Yeah, and you know what? On that subject, how is Keith Richards and David Crosby still alive? I mean, that's incredible, right?
I know, yeah, right.
It's incredible.
Go figure.
So, you know, I see a bunch of celebrity photos with you, you and Will Smith, you and Patrick Swayze, and I see that you've worked with the likes of Britney Spears and Mariah and Johnny Cash. How did all this come about, Charles?
Yeah, I worked for promoters. So at the time, that was when I started doing it was in 93. So at the time, Don Law was the promoter on the East Coast, and mm-hmm. Bill Graham, not the religious guy, but the promoter in San Francisco, was the biggest promoter on the West Coast. So they weren't in competition, but Don Law owned more real estate, owned more venues, and was more successful than Bill Graham was. So I was working for the biggest promoter basically in the world, you know, Don Law. Then Clear Channel came along and bought up all the promoters across the country. So I was working for Clear Channel. Then Live Nation bought out Clear Channel. And so then I was working for Live Nation. And you know how big they are. They're huge.
Yeah.
But so my title was, where I got the job was my neighbor knew me. He was working for the promoters. And he called me up one day and said, "Charlie, I need you, call me up one night." He was totally busy. He was working for, I don't know, Boys to Men or who knows who it was. But he was just totally busy and didn't have much time. He goes, "Charlie, I need you to work at the Orpheum tomorrow. Be there at 8:00. Pretend like you know exactly what you're doing. You know, if anybody asks you anything, the answer is always yes. You know, and that's all I knew." And he goes, "Just be there at 8:00. Boom. And he hangs up, right?
Wow.
So I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to this prestigious, you know, theater in Boston that holds like 4,000 people. And so I dressed up in a suit and tie, right? You know, because I didn't know. So I walk in with a suit and tie, and I get there, and everybody's wearing black T-shirts and black pants, you know. And I go up to the production manager. I'm like, "Hey, I'm Charlie. I'm your runner." That was my title, runner. Gopher. It's a gopher for the stars, you know. And so I'm your runner. And they got a big laugh out of my wearing a suit and tie because nobody does that. But, yeah. So my first gig was working
for that. Well, you didn't know, right? It was your first experience.
I didn't. Exactly, my first one. Yeah. Oh, and
so,
check this out. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh no. So, my dad, my job is to basically anything they need is what my on any tour, you have the touring manager who takes care of the band, you know, the accountants, the blah, 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 and the touring production manager, he's the guy, he's the go-to guy for pretty much everybody on the tour. So, like, for example, the Rolling Stones, I can tell you for a fact they had 400 personnel on their tour when they do a stadium show. So all those 400 personnel, yeah, if they need anything, you know, they might need, who knows what they need. It could be anything at all. They go to the production manager, give him the information, and the production manager is always busy on his computer because the Rolling Stones are playing in Boston, so I'm working for them in Boston. But next week, they're going to be in Chicago. So the production manager is on his computer telling Chicago, telling the guy in Chicago what they need. They need 40 gaffers. They need 20, you know, there's 30 of that, you know. And they're, and he writes out the specifications on the football field, you know. I said, okay, the stage has to be this wide. This is, you know, because they have to mark off the field, you know, and that's the beginning of it. And so he's always on his computer. He doesn't have time to, you know, do everything they need. So I'm his assistant. So anybody that goes to him, then he immediately gives it to me. And says, Charlie, okay, this is what we need, you know. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, he's like, okay, Charlie, you know, you got to do this, and you know, drive the band to the hotel, pick up this, and there's just an endless stream of being a samurai shopper. Is what...
There you go. There you go. So, Charles, who are the artists you've looked up to, you know, for inspiration? I'm sure you have quite a few.
Well, not, I really don't. I only have a few.
Is that right?
I love so many. I love, you know, thousands. There's thousands of fantastic musicians, you know. But I guess everybody loves their first, you know, when they were a kid listening to it. Some of my first was Bob Dylan, you know. And I'm just never forget listening to, and of course the Beatles, because I graduated high school in '69. So I was right there for all that. But Bob Dylan, the Beatles, they just, you know, they exploded.
What's your favorite,
my brain exploded.
What's your favorite Beatles album?
Oh, Abbey Road, I guess. Or the White Album. I just, so, oh my God, they just.
I was going to say the White Album for me does it for me. I think every song is just a gem and a masterpiece.
Right, amazing, huh? somebody
absolutely.
Right. Well, what made the Beatles so great? And I can't remember the article, but it was like, well, the Beatles have created about 100 or over 100 perfect melodies, and I think they mentioned the only other artist that ever did that was Bach. Who created over 100 perfect melodies.
What do you know? Wow. That's an amazing fact.
Right. And how about this? The number one, who had the most number one hits of all time? You could probably guess.
You know, I've said on previous shows that what would music be without the Beatles, Michael Jackson, and Elvis?
Exactly,
I don't know.
Right.
I really don't know where music would be.
Right. Yeah. Right.
you think of those three, right? And they're each different in their own way.
Right.
But they really set the trend for music moving forward.
Yeah. So Beatles were number one. They had the most number one hits. But you'll never guess who was number two on the list.
That
blew my
two?
Mind. Wings.
Is that right?
Wings with Paul McCartney. Yep.
Yeah, Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Paul McCartney.
I mean, when you think of the Beatles and all the solo stuff between them, it's mind-boggling, right?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Imagine that.
So
yeah.
You mentioned this earlier, Charles. You've toured Japan twice, and that's pretty cool with an all-Japanese band. So that had to be an incredible experience, right?
Oh, that was a blast.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
It's funny how it happened, but it's nobody ever steals anything in Japan. It's like have you ever been there?
I have not. I have not been to Japan.
No, Right, right, right. Yeah, nobody will ever steal anything ever. So one time, me and the bass player, who was we go into a store. It's kind of 7-Eleven was invented in Japan. I don't know if you know that.
No kidding.
7-Eleven Bank. Yep, yep. That's a Japanese store. Yeah, they have 7-Eleven banks in Japan. Yeah. Yeah, so 7-Eleven, when you walk in 7-Eleven, that's pretty much what little stores look like in Japan, like 7-Eleven. So we walk into this store, kind of like a 7-Eleven, late at night, and there's nobody working there. The girl, the bass player, she does a little shopping, grabs all her stuff from the blah, 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 brings it to the register, puts her food down, and there's a big bowl, you know, like the size of a big, huge fruit bowl for a party or something like that, and there's a bunch of cash in it. It's like loaded with cash. She little calculator next to it. She adds up her food in the calculator, puts her money in the bowl, and takes her change, and we leave the store. And that's it.
Wow, that's
nobody working in the store. The doors are wide open, and nobody will ever walk in and steal the money. Yeah.
Well, that's the honor system, right?
That's amazing, man. I don't know how they do it.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
It is.
Try doing that here. I don't think that would go over well here.
Exactly. No. Right. Yeah. Right.
No. The whole store would be cleaned out and looted.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's play another great track from our guest tonight, everybody. Charles Locke has a great song, and I really like this one because and we'll talk about this when we come back, but I wrote a song about the homeless as well. This is a song from Charles called No Place Like Home. Let's check it out.
Cool.
Fading star.
Charles. Let's welcome back, everybody. Charles Locke to Original Lyric Stream Radio. And as I mentioned before, we listened to that track. We have this subject in common that I'd like to send you my link. I wrote a song called Survival on the Street. And I feel it for the homeless. That it's a big problem here in Florida. And every day I see somebody on the street, and I can't even imagine, you know, that life. I just can't. So job well done on your end.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. So,
it's a tough subject. And, you know, I wish we had answers there. I wish we could build more, you know, shelters and, you know, food banks. And that really, when you think about it, that shouldn't be an issue, but it is in every state.
Right. When you think about it, most homeless people actually enjoy it because they're independent, you know, they have their own little house and a tent. And homeless shelters, you know, you have to be in there by a certain time. They have very strict rules, you know. And so homeless
right.
people do not like homeless shelters. They don't like them at all because there's not much flexibility. And then lights out at 9 o'clock, you know. Then they kick you out at 6 in the morning. And so they must have to live in a tent.
There's a lot of guidelines there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So many people, Charles, share this opinion. I thought this was really interesting. You're one of the best and prolific songwriters in Los Angeles, and how you know, classic and catchy your hooks and melodies are, and that must make you feel good to hear those kind words and. You know, from what I've certainly read in your bio and doing research this week, you know, incredible. I still can't get over the 4,000 songs. That's that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm trying to think how many songs I've written. It's probably about 100 and 150 compared to your 4,000.
Yeah, that's quite a bit, 150. That's good.
Yeah.
And you only started in 2012. Wow.
Well, 7 years ago. Yeah. It's,
wow.
Yep. Well, I like to ask set questions. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll send you Survival on the Street so you can hear that. That's
Oh yeah.
That's it's a vocal piano ballad, and very proud of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
I like to ask set questions from week to week, and you know, the music industry, as you know, has changed completely to social media, digital streaming, and I've seen a few albums here and there trying to make a comeback. But you remember the days of something called the music store? You know, selling albums and CDs. You remember back in the day the music store, and you know, now the artist is really their own boss, you know, to place their own music in social media and digital platforms, and there's no more promoters, there's really no more record labels. You know, so you release your music in social media, and everyone on the planet can listen to your music right away. Do you like where music is now?
Do I like it?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay. I get different answers from week to week from the guests I have on. You know, some like it, and it's interesting. You know, so explain why you don't like it now.
Well, the album is a thing of the past. Now it's all singles. And that kind of drives me crazy, you know, because I like to hear a full album, you know, and see what the artist is all about. But most times, there's only a few tracks you like anyway in most albums. But then, of course, when you get great bands and every song is good, then that's where I miss the album part.
I'm with you there, because I could pour a glass of wine, right, put an album on, I can listen to the whole thing, because I want to hear the whole story. Right,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, from the first track to the last track.
Right. The thing that drives me crazy the most is these days you don't know what you're listening to. I mean, is it real or is it not real? Or is it canned drums? Or most times it is, you know, depending on what style of music you listen to. But it's a funny thing, in L.A., it's all about heavy metal. L.A. loves heavy metal.
Heavy metal, like Guns N' Roses and that kind of Metallica.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath is huge. People just love Black Sabbath. They can't get enough.
Yeah, yep.
I missed that.
Little Black Sabbath, Iron Man.
Iron Man, yeah, or even Iron Maiden, and Right, I run jams in L.A. So you call your lyrics. Do you talk about lyrics much on your show? Because it's the name of your show.
Original Lyric Stream. You know, we'll ask artists from week to week about their process. You know, I'll ask you right now. When you're sitting down and writing the song, do you want to do the whole thing right away, or do you want to piece together verse, chorus, bridge? I mean, personally, I can start and stop. You know, if I'm not feeling it, I can put it down and go back to it. How do you approach lyrical writing?
Yeah, of course, it's happened in all different ways, but mostly I always walk around with a pad and a pen in my pocket, because you never know.
Absolutely.
So the one time I'm walking down the street, and I wanted to sing like Paul McCartney, you know, I kept thinking, why can't I sing like Paul McCartney? Right? Right, exactly, right? You know, I want to sing like Paul. So I realized, okay, I have to know my limitations and work within that, you know, and write songs based on my limitations, you know. And so I'm waiting for a red light and take out my pad, because the limitations, all of a sudden, that hit me like a chorus. Limitations. Limitations, limitations. We don't need no limitations, you know. I was crossing the light before the light turned green, and by the time I got to the other side of the street, the song was already finished.
There you go. See, it comes to you very quickly. Sometimes it takes a while. Stomp the Ants took me 15 minutes, right? So it's really quick. What do you have? What do you have going on next, Charles? What's going on? New projects, gigs? Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Website is charleslock.com. It's pretty boring, you know. Not much. I mean, it's the same old It's another website.
I'm on your website right now. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I need to set it up a little bit better, but yeah, I'm on all those social media platforms. Instagram kind of drives me crazy because people use different names. They're out of their, what you call it, but like their real name and their handle is completely different, you know. So on Instagram,
right.
I never knew who the hell I'm talking to.
Right. That is true.
You know?
That's true.
It's like I got one friend on Instagram. His name is Mr. Coffee Pot. You know, so I keep saying Mr. Coffee Pot, you know, okay. So
that's
I probably
great.
Went to the person's page. And, hey, who the hell is Mr.
Well,
Coffee Pot?
My friend, I really want to thank you so much for coming on, and I really appreciate it. You're what a great conversation. It's been a pleasure for being my guest tonight, and I really appreciate your time this evening, Charles. And I have great respect for you as an artist, and keep on writing. You got to write that 4001st song now.
I'm going to need your help on that one, Russell.
There you go.
Yeah,
and I'm going to post a live
replay.
I'm going to post a live replay of our show tonight, Facebook. Thanks again, Charles, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Russell, how much time do we have left?
We have probably a minute.
Okay, I'm going to give you a quick story, right?
Sure.
So I'm working for the promoters. I'm working for Elvis Costello. And his production manager says, Charlie, all this English stuff, English newspapers, English chutney sauce, English blah, 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 you know. I'm like, where am I going to get this? Then all of a sudden I realized, okay, I know where to get it. So I drive to Harvard Square, and unbelievably, I get all the stuff. So I'm really proud of myself. I'm like, wow, I got all this English stuff. And then those are the days of pages. He pages me. I call him back, and he goes, Charlie, we need an inflatable sheep, right? I'm like, let me get this right. An inflatable sheep, yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, there's a sex shop right down the street. I'll stop there. So I stop. I go walk in the sex shop. I ask the guy behind the counter, I go, do you have any inflatable sheep? He goes, oh, sorry, we just sold out.
Like, oh, no.
I'm like, what? That's an everyday item? You know, I mean, seriously. You know, you sold out? What? So the guy goes,
great story.
Yeah, I go, what do you have? He says, well, we have an inflatable pig with a wig. You know, so I call the production manager back, and he goes, we'll take it.
Oh, that's hilarious. Hey, Charles, we got to go, but hey, thanks again for being on. I really appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Russell.
Yeah, thanks, same here. Have a great night.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you.
Bye.
I want to give a shout out to my friend Steve Smith, who hosts and brings people together so well on Facebook. Type in Solid Grounds Coffee House in Pinellas Park, Florida. A great night on the final Friday of each month. At 6 p.m., we join hands with live music performances. If you're in the local Florida area, please join us or lend your support. Please visit my website, russellpoiseymusic.com, to include Island Dream Records. It can help connect your music to the online digital platforms. And on my website, we do have merch, radio show merch, T-shirt merch. Please check it out. My name is Russell Poisey, your host of the original Lyric Stream radio show. Thank you again, Bill. And remember, try no matter what you're told. Good night.